Naomi, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's interesting, maybe for our listeners, to find out how I encountered you in the very darkest of all of the days during the pandemic in the spring when so many New Yorkers were losing their lives. Mm-hmm. I encountered a webinar I think will always stay with me. It was called Saying It Louder, How to Have a Good Death in a Racist Society. I think that was the subtitle of the event. Mm-hmm. And it was a conversation with a number of Black women, some of them doulas, death doulas, about what dying is like in a racist society and their emotions and feelings around that. And I felt very privileged to be witness to that conversation. And since then, I've reached out to that organization to find out if there were, you know, New York partners of that organization here. And I found you, and I'm so grateful for that.
I'm so glad you found me as well. That webinar was such a relief and a joy to do because it just really felt like we were speaking to things that we as, you know, doulas of color and Black doulas have been talking about amongst ourselves for a while. So it just felt really good to get that out into a space where it was accessible and could really become a conversation.
So you are affiliated with the organization that put on that webinar. Can you tell us about how you got involved in this work and your affiliation with the group?
I got involved in this work a little over a year ago, and I was grieving the loss of a mother figure who was very close to me, my partner at the time. Her mother had passed from cervical cancer. Some time had gone by, and I remember just thinking, as I was there supporting my partner at the time, I was also supporting her mother, and I was just thinking about how lucky I felt and how beautiful it was to be able to just sit with her and be with her as she was in that transitional space of dying and kind of just saying goodbye to this life that she had been living. And it was so moving and kind of earth-shattering for me to just listen to her talk about things she was afraid of, like, you know, just her fear of dying young, and the things she felt like she wouldn't see, and just kind of being there for that process as she went through that. And I just remember thinking, like, she was so lucky to have this really big family that just wanted to be there for her and just, like, wanted to meet her there. And, you know, sometimes it was really hard for them to sit with the things that she was telling them, but she was just so lucky to have them. And I just remember thinking that I wish that more people had that kind of support, especially here in New York, where there are so many people who die and their deaths go completely unacknowledged because there's nobody to witness it. There's nobody to be at their side to ease them out of the world the way that, you know, they were eased into the world. And that just seemed like a real shame to me. So I did some research and I started thinking about volunteering for hospice care and palliative care. So I started training to volunteer for that. And at the same time, I also came across death doulas and end-of-life guides. And I loved the idea of just like a non-medical person that provides holistic, spiritual, mental support for people who are transitioning and their communities, their pods that are holding them through that as well. So that is how I came across Going with Grace and their training program and the wonderful Elua Arthur. Like, I can't say more kind words about her. I think her work is amazing, amazing, amazing. And so I took her training program, and just as I took it, like, all the light bulbs just started going off. This feels right. Teaching people how to support those who are dying feels right. And it's interesting because it's not necessarily something that needs to be taught, but I think in this day and age that we're in, it's something that does need to be supported with, like, a grounding of knowledge. And I found that really helpful. And then shortly after I finished her wonderful training program, I lost my mother. And that was, I don't really have words to describe how lucky I felt to have had that training at that time, but also just how devastating it was to kind of have to get this, like, hands-on knowledge in a way. Mm. So that's kind of how my journey began. My journey as a death guide is kind of dovetailed with my own grief journey. And that's been a very interesting experience for sure.
I'm speaking with Naomi Edmondson, who is a queer radical deaf guide for the Hudson Mohawk magazine. Can you give our listeners a bit more description of what a deaf doula is? I love when you said easing people out of this life the way that they were eased into this life. What is a deaf doula?
A deaf doula is somebody who provides non-medical holistic support the dying person and their community and their pod through the dying process. A deaf guide, a deaf doula can really come at any point of the journey. They can assist people in figuring out paperwork like prior to dying, like if you're young, healthy, or older, healthy, wherever you might be in the journey, and you just think, I want to start the process of just like preparing myself and preparing my family and preparing my house and just all of those things. Like a death guide can help you sort those things out. And then when it comes to the dying process, a death guide can be somebody who offers emotional support to the person who's passing, emotional support to their pod. They can help with running errands. They can help with respite care when the family might need just some breathing room to just step back and care for themselves, because caregiver burnout can be very real. They can sit vigil. They can also help with legacy projects that the dying person might want to leave behind to their families. And that can look like a plethora of things. It can look like, you know, creating songs, writing down like recipes, and it can look like a photo album. It can look so many different ways. And then once the dying process has been completed and the person has passed, a death guide can be really helpful in helping the family plan the service, whether that be something in person or helping with the Zoom memorial, helping to create rituals to honor the life of the person that has passed. It can just look so many ways, but the grounding part of it is that a death guide is somebody who is there to support and to meet both the person dying and their family in that space, in a space where it can be hard for a lot of other people to meet you and sit with you. I've heard this other places, but I love the idea that a death doula or a death guide isn't meant to kind of just like write you to death and be like, this is how you do it, let me tell you how to do it, but it really is somebody to walk alongside you as you figure things out for yourself.
It's hard to have a discussion like this without acknowledging the disproportionate impact that COVID has had on people of color and Black Americans in particular. But it's not new. Death itself has had a disparate impact on our Black and brown brothers and sisters. And I just wonder if you could comment on how important it is to have care options, particularly end-of-life care options, that are sensitive to the needs of people of color.
I don't have enough words to describe how important it is to have end-of-life care options that are particular to the needs of Black and brown communities. It's just so important on a vital level to have people who look like you and who understand what your community is and understand the needs of community to be present at the end of life, because it can already be such a fraught time, especially for Black and brown communities, because medical racism, police brutality, we're dealing with just so much on so many fronts that at the end of life, when somebody is dying or has died, and we're talking about like a funeral service or just some kind of service to memorialize them, having adequate, more than adequate care at the end of life can really be the difference between a person feeling like they're dying, but dying with dignity and dying with honor and dying from a place of being seen, really seen and acknowledged, and a family having time to honor them and feeling like they are also being honored. That can really be the difference between a good death, a death that feels like it belongs to that person, and a death that, you know, could be anybody's, that is nonspecific, that where there is no care and there is really like no peace when you think about it. And Black and brown communities are so deserving of that, so deserving of having peace at the end of life.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, thank you for having me.